Please stand by. Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's IBM iSeries Nation Citizens Chat Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. To access the presentation materials for today's call, please go to ftp://ftp.software.ibm.com/e-server/iSeries/web/nation/event/pdf/real-java-real-easy-iSeriesNation.pdf for the unzipped version, or ftp://iSeries/web/nation/event/pdf/real-java-real-easy-iSeriesNation.zip for the zipped version. And now at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Jim Mason. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, April, and welcome to Real Java Real Easy. Hopefully you'll find that Real Java Real Easy, we'll talk about today for the iSeries, is actually simpler than actually getting the handout. Hopefully you all can find those FTP addresses and pull the handout down. And I'll try to give you some cues as we walk through as to which FOIL we're on and so on. But today we're going to talk about how to simplify Java development for the web on the iSeries. And that's really the topic of conversation. There's obviously been a lot of history on the iSeries, different technologies that many people have tried and so on to date. But we'll move forward and try to go through and simplify your view maybe of what Java on the web can be at this point. So first thing, from an agenda standpoint, we're on FOIL 2. We're going to cover, number one, what the objectives are for this session. We're going to talk about the parts that go into an e-business environment or application. We're going to talk about the technologies that are important to run an e-business application. And we'll define sort of a roadmap, a general roadmap anyway, that can help you get there. And we'll try to compare it a little bit to the iSeries roadmap that you're familiar with that IBM's been talking about for over a year now. So that's the agenda. We're now going to talk about objectives. First thing we want to know, from my point of view, we want to establish, number one, that you know where Java fits in your e-business plans, and number two, that you're comfortable with the idea that it's very easy to build e-business applications in Java today. Java's evolved a lot since it's been out, which is almost 10 years now from Sun, and at this point we have new technology that simplifies it quite a bit. So it shouldn't be something that's complex, shouldn't be something that's hard. And if we look at the next FOIL, it shows you that a lot of people have thought, based on either past experience or what they've heard, that Java meant maximum effort for minimum results. So here we have a complex, looks like a space shuttle. And in reality, Java does not have to be complex. It actually can be quite simple for web development. So the whole goal here is to simplify it down, make it easy to use on your end with the right technologies. So if we look at what you're trying to establish as goals for the web, we need to review what's really important. How do you measure any technology or any solution you're going to look at for web development? First of all, it has to be simple. Simple to understand, simple to use. It has to be very reliable, something that doesn't break in effect or is not fragile when it runs. Clearly, it has to be secure. Another important criteria, which is new for, I think, a lot of iSeries development, developers who are working with RPG or COBOL, is that the technology also should be portable. And, you know, time and again, I see many examples where portability is a critical feature, where you were going to run something on one platform, something comes up, you have an emergency or whatever, you can run on a second platform, and there's no coding changes. It's just a matter of flipping a switch and deploying it to a new platform, and it'll come up in minutes make it very easy to work in any environment, reuse your resources. So portability is pretty high up there, and that's not a criteria normally on the iSeries we've been using in the past. Another thing that you clearly understand from working in RPG or in COBOL is that anything you build has to be maintainable. So it's not enough that I have a simple wizard that makes something for you. More important is when you open up what got generated, if we generate code or whatever is built, you want to see code that's very simple, very easy to understand, and very easy to maintain. So hopefully we'll be able to show you some of that today on the Java side, stuff that sort of makes sense, is not difficult to work with. Finally, another important criteria for not everybody, but I would say at least 90% of the iSeries customers I deal with, is affordability. You can't start out with things that are incredibly expensive as tools, runtime environments, and so on. You've got to come out with something that's very affordable. And then the last one that's important is you want investment protection. So you're looking for stuff that's going to be around for a long time. You're trying to place, in a sense, smart technology bets on tools and runtime environments for the web that are going to be with us. They're not something that one company invents, it's going to disappear and everything else. So we also want to make sure with investment protection that we're leveraging all of the assets you already have on the iSeries, which means all your existing data, your existing programs as well. We certainly don't want to force you to reinvent the wheel and not take advantage of all the things you already have. So those are basically some fairly common criteria when we go from company to company looking at what people want to do on the web today. Next foil, how far can I go with my current skills? Well, as I talk to most of the iSeries developers I've worked with who have RPG and COBOL backgrounds, they clearly have a ton of business knowledge, which means you know how to build business rules, maintain them well, and all that stuff. So a high level of programming skill is also important, so you already understand what applications are, how to design them, maintain them, and all that. That's pretty important. And in some cases, I run into developers that also have a little bit of SQL background. And we don't really need a ton of SQL to do, I'll call it web applications, but SQL is the foundation of how we access our data. And we also use it to call host programs like RPG and COBOL as well from a web application. So basic SQL statements just are select, insert, to add data, update, to update a record in the table, delete, and then finally a call statement to call a program. So those are five SQL statements that tend to be used in web applications quite a bit. If you have that knowledge, great. And if you don't, that's not a big deal on the SQL side. So the goal is to take all of the existing skills you have and leverage those in e-business development easily. So that's what we're trying to do. Not trying to make you relearn or learn a ton of new things. We're actually trying to minimize the learning curve as much as possible and leverage what you already know and also use the software you already have. So next foil we'll take a look at is talking about e-business part one. We want to focus on what's the best language to use. Truth is, there are many languages that can do web development. If you wanted to, you could write CGI applications in RPG. You could use Visual Basic. You could use C++. You can use many, many different languages that are out there. In reality, when you go to build web applications, if you look at trying to meet your goals, the most common one that's probably in use today for development anywhere is Java, without a doubt. So what does Java provide us? It gives us a secure, open standards, robust, viable platform for application development that goes across any server. So I can run my Java code directly on the iSeries, I can run my Java code on a Linux box, Windows box, wherever I want, and I don't have to change the code. So that's that write once, run anywhere flexibility, which if you haven't used it, you have no idea how easy it is to do, but it's a tremendous benefit for deployment. And then the other advantage to Java is it is the fastest growing language out there today in terms of resources. So we have not only tons of developers, but we have tons and tons of frameworks for the web that are all Java-based. So there are some things that are out there that are RPG or C++ or whatever, but the bulk of web stuff today is clearly Java frameworks. So when you go to build something in Java, you usually have lots of resources to make that job very, very easy. So that's a huge advantage for Java as an e-business language. Next thing, we'll look at an approach to building applications. And typically, one of the problems with Java has been that in the past, that a lot of vendors were promoting the fact that it should be object-oriented, should be Enterprise Java Beans, J2EE, all of that stuff. And the problem with that is that's an incredibly complex architecture that adds not only runtime performance issues with overhead, but it's actually very difficult to build. So if you talk to somebody that has sort of gone the J2E route and said, hey, that's too tough for me, I don't like it, that's not one that's an easy way to start with Java on the web. So what we're trying to do is get back to something simpler, where in effect we have a simple model. You already understand from RPG and COBOL the simple concepts of how to build a control flow in your own application. You do it all the time. You write simple applications that allow users to enter data, update databases, and so on. And you always have a mainline script. So we want to go back to what works for you already, leverage those skills, keep it simple. And the way we use Java is to define now a simple mainline script or flow just like you would in RPG or COBOL. So that keeps it simple. The other thing that's nice with Java to keep things simple is we can easily modularize just like you do in RPG or COBOL. We have the same ability to modularize stuff with Java Beans in Java to keep things simple again. So a new approach would be to say, let's do Java web development. Let's do it procedurally rather than using this OO stuff. And let's keep things simple with using Java Beans to, in a sense, modularize our code nicely. So if you look at from a design perspective, talking about modularity and separation of things, one of the issues with the old 5250 architecture, the old way to write applications, was the fact that you had all of your business logic, your presentation, and your data access all in one program. And IBM said, that's bad, let's modularize it, which was a good strategy. If you look at it, that architecture that everybody's talking about is something called Model View Controller. And we really have three different parts of an application, logically. We have the view portion, which is where you present the interface to the user. In our case, for a web application, we're talking about web browsers. When you talk about the control layer of an application, you're talking about the application workflow. And there we're looking at your RPG or your COBOL mainline. So we want to be able to do the same thing, have a normal mainline flow for a Java web application. And then the third part of it is we're trying to access what they call the model layer, which is really your business logic or your data, business rules and all of that. So we separate those three things. And by separating them, we keep everything very flexible. What that means is all of your data and your business logic is now reusable in any format you want. The control layer is very simple. It doesn't have any business logic in it. And then finally, the view is, in a sense, where you create your web pages that the user will see in the application. So those are the three parts to a, I'll call it a clean architecture for Java web applications. So design is very important. Next thing we want to take a look at is what do you really want to build? So the first thing to focus on is, if you want to look at an application, what information do I want to put up in a web browser, and what functions, what business functions do I already have in RPG or COBOL that I can use in my web application? So I call that doing sort of an inventory analysis for a web application. We say, if you tell me what you want to build, we go look and say, well, what data do you already have that we can reuse? What actually RPG or COBOL programs do you have that we could also reuse? So that reuse strategy is the first thing we do, sort of do an inventory analysis. The next thing we want to do is take a look at the specific, I'll call them MVC or Model View Controller technologies that you would use to build a web application that are going to get you there quickly without a lot of work. So on the presentation or the view side, we've got two things that are pretty important. First thing is standard HTML, hypertext markup language. It's a tag-based language. Most of you, I'm sure, have already looked at HTML. Even if you don't program it, you've at one point or another probably looked at the source for a web page and seen HTML tags. Basically, it just describes a way to render content, including text and images and everything else, and hyperlinks out to a browser interface that the user can work with. Second thing is JSP or Java Server Pages. And Java Server Pages are important because they, in effect, give you the ability to add to a web page Java logic and access to other programs and data and so on. So we're making a page, instead of being static, we're making it dynamic by letting it access data and business logic through Java Server Pages. So those are really two types of web pages. You'll see them with a .html, that's an HTML page. And if it has a .jsp, that's a Java Server page, which at runtime will generate HTML in your web browser, but will include dynamic data. The other thing with JSPs, Java Server Pages, is they also have something called tag libraries that simplify building a web page. So if we take a look at the next foil, it has an HTML example of just standard HTML syntax. And what you can see is for a given type of tag, There's a page tag that's the HTML page itself that has a begin and an end tag. The end tag always ends with a slash. So we have a start tag and an end tag for every type of HTML tag we're trying to define in a page. So most of the tags, 95% of them, will have a matching end tag. So here we've got headers and so on. So that's the way tags look inside a page. The next foil shows us a Java server page syntax example. I apologize, I know the font's a little small, it's hard to read it, but hopefully if you have the presentation via FTP, you can expand that in the Adobe Reader and take a look at it a little bit better. The key here, though, is that this is an entire web page. It doesn't have a lot of code on it, you can see that. And the entire page here, this Java server page, probably has, you know, it looks like 15 lines of code. And it displays, in effect, a whole subfile of events that are listed. So it's almost like a subfile page, you know, in RPG or COBOL, listing events with an event ID and an event description and a hyperlink to go click on an event. So this, if you will, web subfile page didn't take a lot of code. And how come it doesn't take a lot of code to develop this? The key thing is we're using Java Server Page Tag libraries, and StructuredSoft provides a StructuredSoft provides some open source tools that simplify web development using Java Server Page Tag libraries. So at the top of this thing, hard to read, but there is a line up there that says we're using a tag library from StructuredSoft.com called SJForm, and we just use a prefix for F. Anytime we want to use one of these tags, we'll say we'll use the prefix F and then colon the tag name. So we have a form in here for a web page that allows to input data to a web server, and it begins with F colon form, and then it has some attributes like a name and a method on how you send the data to the server and so on. So the method here is post. The name for this form was form events and so on. So we have a form tag that defines what the form is, and on that form we lay out just an event header. Then below that, we actually start a subfile loop with something called a repeater tag, and we give that variable name. Here it's called report events, and what we're doing is repeating a series of events as a subfile. And then for each row that we're going to put out, we have a row tag which begins with TR, and then we have individual detail cells within the row that define each of the columns we want to show for a given row. So we have a text name coming out here for date format. We have an event ID that you can click on as a hyperlink, and so on. So it makes it easy to build a subfile inside of a web page. Not hard at all, just a couple of tags, and that's all it took to do that. So hopefully you can see not all the details here, but at least the concept that building a custom web page is very, very simple. That should be something that's pretty evident that we don't need a lot of complexity. If you look at it and compare it to a green screen page that does the same thing, this actually probably has less code than the typical green screen subfile page does, which is a nice thing. So, and then the other thing, if you would note also with the JSP tags, we do not actually call any of the data directly. It's the tags that actually get to the data. So that's another thing. We don't actually have data embedded in the pages. We actually use the JSP tags to pull the data for us automatically from the database. The next thing we'll look at is control technology. If you flip your foil, we're now looking at what we call a Java control script, which is, in this case, it's a structured J script, which is procedural Java, which is kind of a neat thing. You'd say, well, gee, I heard Java was OO. It can be, but it can also be procedural. Structured J is a technology that allows us to have procedural Java scripts that actually run logic exactly the same as you would in RPG or COBOL main lines, except it's Java code. And this particular script we'll look at is a little bit hard to read, but it's actually pulled from a real application that we developed for a customer as a proof of concept on pulling up contact information. So it just shows you most of the stuff in here actually is comments. All the lines that begin with a double slash are comments. So there's, I would say, two-thirds of the lines on this particular page, although they're hard to read, are actually just comment lines, and only one-third of the lines on this page is actual code for an entire main line. If you take a look at the next foil, actually I've got a URL I'd like you to try to go to see a foil that would be easier to read. The URL for that foil would be, let me pull it up here, if you can go to http colon /, and then an IP address. The IP address is 64.238.207.43. I'll repeat the IP address again, 64.238.207.43/, and then EBTNOWB, that's EBTNOWB, Edward Bob Tom, N-O-W, B as in boy, / SJX1. That's SJX1.htm. If you pop that up, you'll actually be able to see a control script that's written with, we call it structured J, procedural Java control language, that's a complete main line to do, call it a typical file maintenance or CRUD application that does change, read, update, and delete, all of that in one main line. So this would look like a lot of RPG or COBOL main lines that I've seen in the past, which is, you can see how very simple it is. And if you've written RPG and COBOL main lines, you can actually see that you could write this thing, I'll call it as a line-by-line translation from some of the current stuff you've already done. So there isn't really a need to learn sort of object-oriented development methods to any great degree. We're just going to be, in a sense, building procedural Java main lines. And then we'll also we'll build procedural Java main lines, and we'll just use all the parts that are available to us, not only the custom stuff that you've already built in RPG and COBOL, but all the Java objects that are available to simplify development as well. So all in all, Java development with Structured J technology and can be much, much simpler than typical J2E object-oriented development. So that's the point of this foil. If we take a look at the next foil in the presentation you have that you downloaded, you would see a foil that says Java Control Script versus RPG. And here on the left-hand side, we're looking at the RPG or COBOL concepts you're already familiar with on the iSeries. And then on the right-hand side of this comparison chart, you'll see what we call the Structured J Web concept. And what's nice is that the whole model of how you build an RPG or COBOL app is really the same as you use to build a Structured J Web application. There's really not any difference from a developer perspective here. So in the RPG or COBOL end, we would typically define our display file in DDS source. And for a web application, we would use Java Server Page Source files to do the same thing. In an RPG or COBOL application, we would use DDS record formats to write out to a screen, and then we would compile our DDS source file to use it. With a Java Server Page application, we use JSP files for each of the forms that get merged onto a screen. The same as we did DDS, we also take a JSP file, and it gets compiled at runtime as well, so it can be used. With RPG or COBOL, we would enter a 5250 source program into a source member file. In our case, with Structured J web development, we will actually enter a Structured J control script the same way. And it is a line-by-line translation pretty much most of the time. If you give me an RPG or COBOL mainline that you have, it's really usually just a line-by-line translation from COBOL or RPG right into Java to get that script to run. And then that's your source. And then in the case of RPG and COBOL, you have to compile that to a program object. We also take Structured J scripts, control scripts, and those get compiled to an executable Java class, just like your RPG or COBOL program. That's the same. If you look down this thing, we go through some of the examples here and trying to show you side by side how it does compare line by line, which is really a nice advantage of this whole Structured J web development model, is we're keeping it simple and we're mapping directly onto what you already understand. So the next thing down, we show you a typical declaration in an RPG 5250 program for a workstation subfile. And on the right-hand side, you'll see that we just have a single line here that does the same thing as that FSpec. It declares a Java Server Page file called Quick Search as a form page. And a form page is really equal to a page that you're going to display on a screen. We have a mainline loop that would begin with do until equal indicator 3 for exit maybe on an application in RPG. We have a while loop that will continue indefinitely until the user hits the exit button in Structured J. If you want to put a green screen out, you would go ahead and if you're putting out a green screen, you would do a simple execute format, which would write the screen to the window terminal, and then it would read it back in when the user hits enter. With when you look at Structured J, we do the same thing, except we use a show command. We take the page and we send it a message that says show. So you take the form page object, in this case called form index, and we use a dot to separate the action from the object. So we take the object form index, send the message or action to show with no arguments. That's what the parentheses are. We send the message show to the page, and we wind up displaying the page in the browser. The user does whatever they do. They hit a submit button, and then from there, the page goes back to the Java program to continue your flow in the application. So it really is the same thing as an RPG mainline flow. If we want to execute a subroutine or a procedure in Java or COBOL, we can do an execute subroutine or whatever you want to call there for a procedure. And you can do the same thing in Java. We actually, our form page here has a method or subroutine that can clear error messages if you've displayed the page. So we would do the same thing that you would do to clear errors maybe in an RPG program in a subroutine. When you want to move data back and forth between the database and your green screen application, you would actually do a move from a database field onto a screen field. We do exactly the same thing in Structured J again. Here's an example where we're taking a database number, and we're updating a database number called CTNum, and we're pulling it off the screen where the screen field was named CT sequence number. So that's automatically loading one from the other. We do moves the same way. We can do tests with if conditions the same way you do in RPG or COBOL, and we can call other subroutines as well. So even inside of other Java Beans or other programs like you would do as well. So it's very easy, modular, the same way you're doing in RPG or COBOL. And that's really what we're walking through here, is that the model on how you build these things is really not different than what you're doing for an RPG or COBOL app today. That's a big deal. If we look at model technologies that we want to leverage, the key issue on our end is we want to be able to reuse all of the existing data and all of the existing RPG and COBOL applications that you already have when you build your web applications. We don't want to rewrite stuff we don't want to rewrite things in Java that you do not need to. All we're trying to do is, in a sense, take a business application, find out what logic you already have and what data you already have, and reuse it wherever possible. If you don't have the data, yes, you have to create a new table. If you don't have the logic, you can write that logic in a structured J script, or you could write it as part of a database, part of a Java control script. Either way, that would work. So the model layer describes where you're going to get your logic and your data. The key thing here is, in most of the situations we do on applications, we find that people do not have to actually rewrite or build tons of new applications. They already have that business logic. So a lot of what we do is really linked to the existing programs. That works out pretty well. So if we'll go from the model technology page to the next page, this is where we come back and we say, putting it all together for you. We've walked through that whole model view control architecture, and we said the view is something that's common to all Java web applications. We're using Java server page technology and HTML and Java server page tags to build our views dynamically for you in a web application. The second thing we're doing that's very different is we're saying the right answer to simplify web development is to use procedural Java control scripts that actually work the same way RPG and COBOL do today, except that you're building it in real Java, and this Java would execute on any server. You could run it on the iSeries, you could run it in Windows, Linux, wherever you want to run it, but it's procedural Java, not object-oriented Java, which makes life easy. Still has all the same advantages as object-oriented Java in terms of being able to use components and modularity, but you're just not dealing with any of the complexity. And finally, the whole model layer we talked about was how you access your iSeries data, call your iSeries programs, and so on. And you have the ability to do that. You can even call, if you're doing ILE coding, you could even call an ILE procedure if you've externalized any of the procedures in an ILE service program. So that's possible. So that's really what the whole architecture is about from a web application perspective. Hopefully that's made sense and seems, at least from your point of view, simple. if you look at it, it's not a lot to learn. So let's flip the foil and take a look at the next thing. We talk about the iSeries roadmap to e-business. Now, IBM's had a roadmap, and we've taken that roadmap, and we've overlaid, in a sense, where this Java web technology fits. So if you look at it, we've got what we call a fast path to e-business square right on that roadmap that says, if you're an RPG or COBOL developer and you're trying to get to the point that you're building Java web applications, then using this structured J technology for Java web applications is going to be incredibly simple because you have very little to learn. So we typically say it's probably 5 days of classroom training at most that you would need to build basic Java web applications, calling your database and your series programs. And realistically, if you're going to implement a small system, it's probably a full month from start to finish to complete a whole application, you know, given the cycle of what you're trying to do there. Obviously, if you're trying to replace an entire ERP suite, like BPix or MAPix or JD Edwards or something, you're not going to write that in a month no matter what you do. But basically building a, I'll call it a first application start to finish, shouldn't take more than a month at all. So that's a very nice small investment in training, very nice small investment in terms of time to get something up and operational. And that's very important. So if you compare that to the normal roadmap, if you look at the recommended training that IBM has on the regular roadmap to go to what they call Java e-business, they're talking about 71 days of classroom training and 6 to 12 months to get to the point that you've implemented a lot of these different technologies out there. So this is clearly a lot simpler way to get to the web with a lot less effort and a lot less money on your end. So you can't skip training altogether. That's critical. And certainly you do have to have an organized way to, in a sense, design and build your applications. But at least the technologies we've looked at keep it simple. So if we look at the next foil, we want to talk about the tools of the trade. What do you need to be able to do this? Well, you have to be able to develop your application. You have to be able to run it. On the development side, what's nice about using Structured J as a Java technology for web applications, you have two choices on how to build it. There's an open source development environment that's available for free from structuredsoft.com. So if you go to www.structuredsoft.com, you can actually download the Structured Soft Developer Kit for free and use it. And that is actually based on Eclipse technology, which all of the IBM tools are based on as well, that same open source Eclipse environment. It has the Structured J development tools so you can build procedural scripts, and it has all of the Structured J web parts to simplify accessing all of your data and your programs. We also leverage the IBM iSeries Java Toolkit. The open source version is called JT Open. That's part of the Structured J developer kit. And finally, there's actually a built-in web application server called Jetty that you can actually load, run, and test your applications right on your development workstation. And the nice thing about the Jetty server is you can actually put the Jetty application server right on your iSeries directly and run it. So if you've had a problem in the past where somebody has looked and said, oh, gee, we can't run WebSphere, it takes too much machine power, too much processor, too much memory, and all that sort of stuff, or it's too slow, Jetty doesn't do that. It's a much simpler web application server, and we've actually been able to run them on an iSeries. In fact, one of the ones at Structured Soft that's running Jetty, I'd be embarrassed to tell you, I think the model number is it's like a D50 or an F50 machine, you know, something, you know, from the dark ages that has 128 meg, and it actually can run Jetty, which is crazy. I wouldn't recommend you try to put Jetty on something that old, but the point is there's not anybody out there that's running hardware that couldn't run the Jetty application server, unless you're already telling me that your machine's at 100% capacity, you don't have room, that's a different issue. So Jetty is simple to use, simple to set up, and it does give you a web application server easily. The other option, of course, is you can always run in WebSphere as well. So if you have WebSphere, you have it installed, then, hey, you can run your Structured J web application right inside of WebSphere as well. So that works. WebSphere Express, from what I've seen, is actually very popular. Not the full version of WebSphere, but WebSphere Express in the iSeries is very popular. So lots of customers are doing that as well. Again, when you look at how to build this stuff, if you're not going to use the Structured Soft developer environment, which is available to you free from StructuredSoft.com, you can also use the IBM WebSphere Development Studio client for iSeries. So an awful lot of shops have that. And what's nice is you can take your structured J jar files and just plug those into a project that you build inside of IBM WDSC. So there's nothing that says you have to use one or the other as the development tool, and certainly you have flexibility on what you use to run this. So you can use the Jetty Web Application Server, but you could also use WebSphere. You can certainly run it, your web applications on the iSeries. If you don't have room on an iSeries, you can either upgrade your iSeries, buy a new front-end box like a small i5, or you can even offload to just an Intel box running on Tomcat as an application server, or Jetty on Windows or Linux. So I just did a project in Baltimore where we were going to run on the iSeries. Turned out WebSphere was running on the iSeries, didn't have enough capacity, couldn't run anything. And it took us literally 1 hour to move the application off the iSeries and set up a whole new box that was just a regular PC that was running, in effect, a web application server like Jetty just to run our application. So that's pretty easy to do. So hopefully you can see that you've got a choice on tools. It doesn't really matter which technology or which tool set you pick, whether it's Structured Soft Developer or IBM WDSC. In either case, you can use this open source Structured J Java technology for development. And when it comes to runtime, there's lots of options here, lots more options than you have if you just look at WebSphere on the iSeries. So certainly that's one option you have available, but you can really pick any hardware platform, and you have lots of choice on web application servers. So hopefully that comes through as a message. So let's take a look at the next thing I want to talk is bring us back on the next foil to where we started. We had laid out a yardstick that talked about what were our criteria for, in a sense, investing in web applications. It has to be simple. And I think Structured J technology, as part of the overall Java web environment, wins on that. It has to be reliable. Certainly, web application servers like WebSphere, Jetty, Tomcat are incredibly reliable when they're set up properly. Secure, that's another issue altogether, but it's very easy to make any of these environments completely secure for even things like credit card applications and so on. I do that all the time for large companies. You can put in SSL technology in front of this stuff and encrypt anything you want very easily. To make it portable, that's one of the huge advantages of Java, and especially Structured J, is that when you create these simple Java web applications, you can literally run them on any platform you want to run them on. That's a big advantage. Maintainable, I hope you saw by looking at the sample scripts that we showed you, if you got a chance to see both of them, hopefully, there really aren't a lot of lines of code in here. This isn't like cracking open a typical RPG or COBOL program and seeing hundreds and hundreds of lines of code. Because of the fact that we're using Structured J web parts, we have usually one line of code that can take an entire record out of a database and put it on a web page for you, for instance. So you don't have to do a line-by-line move. Affordable, obviously, if you're using Structured J technology for the web, the technology itself is free. It's open source, so there really isn't you're not paying for that. Affordable, well, not everything's free. Somewhere you are going to wind up having to invest in education and training, and we certainly provide that at Structured Soft. So we have all kinds of options for either web-based or classroom training available to you to help you get started. There's also support programs available, too. So if you're asking, well, gee, is software supported? It's available for free on the website, but we also have subscription programs for support. So if you want, paid support where you can, talk to somebody on the phone, we have that available as well. And investment protection. The key issue here, as we said earlier, is that we're trying to get to the point on your end that we're leveraging all the stuff you've already bought. We're leveraging your iSeries. We're leveraging the software, the data, all the things that you've already built and own. We're trying to leverage that as the core of what you're doing in a Java web application. So that should make sense to you as well. So hopefully we've covered, in effect, all of your investment criteria. Next foil, the question is, did we meet our objectives? Hopefully in this brief session, which is really too brief to go into much detail on Structured J, we did get you to understand sort of where Java can fit in your e-business plan and how Structured J technology can help make that simple for you. And then the second point we hopefully hit somewhat is the concept that you actually are not far away from a skills standpoint, being able to build Java web applications using this Structured J Java web technology that keeps things simple. So that's the second point. So I'm really interested in your feedback on that. If we take a look at the next steps on how to get started on the next page, you can see that the first thing we normally do recommend is that you pick a very simple e-business application you want to get up. So one case, we've got a company that has a very complex reservation system. We said, well, that's a big project. Why don't you learn productively how the technology works, see if it's going to be the right technology for you with a simple application. So we just took contact management on their end. That's the first application we're actually putting up, so it's pretty easy to do that. We do custom training workshops. We can do those over the web. We can also do them on site if needed as well, or in classrooms, whatever. So we have options there. Typically, most of the customers now are using web-based training. That works out very well. We have web classrooms. We can even do labs over the web online as well, so that works out pretty nicely. And the third point is, it says consider consulting services. Usually, at a minimum, what most customers need to sort of get jump-started is you take, like in the case of the one customer I'm thinking of, we take their contact management app, say, here, just pull out a portion of that, and we build a custom prototype for them, and we turn it back to them and say, okay, here, we built the contact management app that you wanted. It's running in your environment. Now we actually customize the training workshop right around that. So they learn how to build not some generic sample application. They actually learn how to build their own application in-house, which is very, very nice. So, you know, that tailored approach is probably going to get you started very, very quick. If you want to find out more about StructureJ itself, I had written an Experts Journal article in the July-August issue for 2004 of iSeries 400 Experts Journal. So there's a URL out here. You can send an email to get a copy of this if you want. And that actually goes into quite a bit more detail, not only on StructureJ, what it is, but also how it can integrate to anything else you're trying to do as well. So I suggest you send an email to info@structuredsoft.com, and we can get you a copy of the StructureJ article so you can understand how that technology works. Final foil talks about you know, where you can go for more information. For training and consulting services, again, just send an email to info@structuredsoft.com, and we can get you any information you want to get you started on building your own roadmap into this technology quickly. You would certainly want to take a look at downloading the platform for free by going to the StructuredSoft.com website, just www.StructuredSoft.com. And then finally, the other thing that's out there, it's kind of nice, typical with, I guess, lots of open source technology, is there actually is a StructureJ developer community that's out there at www.StructuredJ.org. That's StructuredJ.org. So if you're looking to build applications, you know, first thing you're probably looking for is help, training, and consulting to get started. But from there, you want to grow what you've done, and you certainly would want to join at StructureJ.org and see what you can contribute as well as what you can find out there. So with that, I want to thank you for your time very much, and I want to answer questions. I'm sure there's lots of different ideas on challenges you all face on Java web applications, and I can help you at least take a look at maybe ways to simplify how to move into that with some of this technology. So I want to turn it over to April now. April?
Thank you, Mr. Mason. At this time, we would like to conduct a brief electronic survey consisting of one question. Following the survey, we will be happy to take your questions. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by firmly pressing the star key followed by the number on your touchtone phone that corresponds to your choice. On a scale of 1 through 4, how valuable did you find Jim's chat? For very valuable, press star 1. Valuable, press star 2. Somewhat valuable, press star 3. Or for of no value, press star 4. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. That will conclude our survey. We do thank you for your feedback, and now we'd like to take your questions. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. Anyone wishing to ask a question may do so at this time by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on their telephone keypad. For those of you joining us by speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 for any questions or comments, and we'll pause for just a moment. Just a reminder, that is star 1 for questions, and our first question will come from Nicola Zordon from DMS Systems.
Hello.
Mr. Zordon, please go ahead with your question.
Yes. My main question is, I'm not quite sure I understand what we saw some piece of HTML that should display a page, but I have no idea what that will generate, whether we'll be seeing on the screen. And also, I have not seen from the example, I do not understand where the data come from.
Yeah, good question. Two things. First of all, we talked about Java. We talked about HTML, which really is for static content. And we also talked about Java server pages, which is for active content, which means pulling in data and calling an RPG or COBOL program and so on, try to get that dynamic information up on a screen. So when we talk about building a web application using structured J technology, we're talking about a Java server page. I did show you the code sample. I did not show you a sample web page of, you know, say, here's what that event list looked like. And that's a good idea. I should probably put that in the presentation as a screenshot. Say, here is the, in a sense, I'll call it the web subfile of the event list application that we wrote. And instead, we just showed you the actual code behind it because we were trying to emphasize how few lines there were to make that happen. The other point you had, which is a good one, is, well, how do I get to my data? The important thing there is that we're using data access classes, and what you typically do inside of your control scripts, and I didn't have an example of a control script showing you using we had one that was too hard to read, I think, but it showed you using what we call a result store. You actually just say, here's an SQL statement, like select, some, like first name, last name from an address file, and phone number. You might select three columns out of an address file using an SQL select statement, and then you just hand that, in effect, to what we call a database result store, and that will actually go out to the database, pull back what you want. It could be all the name and addresses in that database table. It could be only the selected ones. It's just using straight SQL. But you get back a result set, and it really, the key to it is when you get that result set back, one of the scripts we had that was difficult to read showed the fact that we could literally take the data from that result store and put it right on the web page directly, in a sense, in one action. We also showed the one that had the loop that built the subfile. So if the only idea is I want to take one record out of my table, put it on a single web page, that's one operation that would do that. That would actually move the data from single record right onto your web page. If you're building a subfile, you're going to write a loop, and every time you go through the loop, you're going to pull off that one record, set of columns you want, and populate the web page. So did that answer your question?
Well, yes, I guess I will have to dig in more details. Probably I will request some information from about the more technical article that you published.
Yeah, and a great point, because I would say that the article in EJ actually has some it shows a simple file maintenance application, and it actually has the nice screenshots that were missing. I should have had in this presentation. It has the screenshots, but it also has the same thing with the code behind it. We do, in that article, show you very nicely the whole concept of using the ESQL select statement, the result store, and then just populating the web page right from that. And that's a key thing, I think, in looking at it. I would probably add another two foils into the pitch just to show you that, because it's incredibly simple to do that. And you're right, that's a key feature of this technology, is it shouldn't look difficult to do that. So thanks for the question. April, do we have any more?
Currently, there are no further questions remaining in the queue. However, I would like to remind our audience that is star one for questions or comments. Mr. Mason, it appears we have no further questions.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for attending. And like I say, the key things for more information, number one, if you're looking for the article, I would send an email to info@structuredsoft.com. And certainly I encourage you to just to visit the website to get a lot more detail. Download the developer kit, articles and whatever else you want. And that's www.structuredsoft.com. So, again, thank you for attending this morning, and look forward to working with you all on Java Web Technology in the future. Thanks.
That will conclude today's conference. We thank you for joining us, and have a great day.